everything for you. When did you get it? The second your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When did healing become yours? The second you got born again. Jesus purchased it all. If you could see it, he sometimes gives me this picture when I'm in meetings. All the goods are laying around on the floor of heaven. You say, well, why didn't he bring it here? Because he said every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. So how do I get it if it's in heavenly places? He purchased it for you. When your name was written there, he attached it to every healing. He attached it to all the provision you'll ever need, every ministry you'll ever need to have. It's already there. You already actually have it. And the problem is, with me was I was waiting for him to do something. He's like, dude, I already did what I'm going to do. It's your turn. So how do we pull it from heaven to earth? By faith and by prayer. By choosing to believe it's true and saying, that's mine. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what he says. God told me that's mine. You say, but what he didn't say to me, he didn't say, Holly, behold, I give you authority. No, he said it to his disciples. Are you a disciple? Yeah. So it's yours. So you have the right to, excuse me. That's me right there. And you can actually go to God. I'll tell you, when I was in the corporate world, and when I lost my job, my big company was bought by a bigger company, and thousands of us were let go. And I went to the Lord and said, hey, you've always gotten me my next job. Where do you want me to work? He said, you're going to work for me. And I thought, oh God, hallelujah. Actually, I think I said something like, that is not funny, and we are not amused. But I knew what he was saying. Now, we had just had a meeting that cost $125 to rent the building, and the offering was $129. So I was like, okay, so I could almost maybe get a Starbucks if I got the cheap one. But I knew one thing about him. He has now made himself my source. So we have a deal. And one thing I learned is if he makes a deal with you, you have the right to go back and say, excuse me, pardon me. Now, this might sound rude, and I know we reverence him, and I do reverence him, but his word has said it, and he made a deal with me. So along we went for a while, and he was paying all the bills, and then one month it came along, and I didn't have enough money, and I had about $6,000 worth of bills, and I got, you know, maybe didn't say it exactly the right way, but I said, excuse me, we have an agreement. See, and this is the way I say it. If in any way I have not fulfilled my part of the if, right? Because what's a system? If you do this, I will do that. If there's anything lacking, you said, given it shall be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over it. If it ain't running over, we're going to talk. You say, well, that's pretty brassy. Yes, but I'm a sincere and devout tither. And if in anything I haven't done enough, we have a deal. You will tell me, I will give my house. I don't care, because this is your problem. I'm not my problem. My bills are not my problem. I'm your problem. We made this deal. And by the way, I didn't ask you to make those promises. You made them before I was born. I know that sounds awful, doesn't it? But I went to God and I said, listen, I'm not seeing what I need to see. I need to pay these bills. And we made a deal. Same day, a friend of mine calls me and says, my uncle died. I've inherited $60,000. I'm sending you the tithes of $6,000. What's your address? I said, thank you. And I started to feel a little bad about the way I said it. I could have been a little more genteel. So I went to God, you know, a month or two goes by. I said, you know, I kind of feel bad. I was kind of crabby. And he said, you may not have said it perfectly, but the words needed to be said. Because faith has to be expressed in the earth. So you don't have to get mad, but you do need to say it. Because what was I doing? I was saying, that's mine, I'll take it, or know the reason why. I will repent of anything you tell me to. You know this about me. I seek you for correction. I want correction. If there's anything in which I've fallen short, man, I want to deal with it. And I want to pray till it's dealt with. But if that's not the case, what up? So when things don't go, let's say you see something in the Word. Am I going too long?
No.
All right. Let's say you see something in the Word, and there it isn't. And you're like, Word? Not. word, not. And you don't want to say anything at church because that might look like you're in unbelief, but really you're kind of like, what? I just want to say this to you. God, if it's in his word, first look and see, is it a promise? If it is, it legally belongs to you. It is in heaven. You already own it. This would be like if I said to you, Jim, I have put $10,000 in a bank account in your name. Now, I'm not going to go get it and bring it to your house. You have to go get it. You have to fill out the ticket, and you got to put it down. And if you don't do that, you're not getting it. So you, if you didn't believe me, she's just saying that. She doesn't really mean that. That's what we do to God. So we don't go to the bank with our ticket and say, that's my money and I'll have it. But we have the right to, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Some of you need to go for your healing. But you need to stop whining. I'm the former captain of the committee of whining, so I can say it, right? I used to be the worst. I don't know how my friends didn't slap me. I was a terrible whiner. But we need to stop whining and look at what it says. Then say, is there anything I need to correct? Is there anything I need to address in my life? Right? And listen, you may not even have the ability to fix it. God has helped me fix so many things that I couldn't even fix in myself. Right? But don't let that stop you. He didn't promise, listen to me, he didn't promise you the stuff based on your goodness. Because he knew you didn't have any. Right? Were you good enough to get born again? No, you were a rank sinner, but oh, you believed that. Come on. So if the devil comes to you, most of you are born again, you're mature enough to handle this. The devil comes to you and says, well, you're not getting into heaven. What would you say to him? Yeah, I am. Get out of here. Of course I am. I'm born again. He'd say, but you, how do you know you didn't go to heaven? You didn't hear God bang the gavel and say, oh, all is well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You didn't hear that. How do you know you're saved? What would you do? You'd pick up your word, say, excuse me, it says here and here and here.
That's right.
But the same devil comes and goes, oh, you're not healed. Oh, you're right. Oh, my God, my symptoms are so bad. Oh, your bills, they're not getting paid. You're just going to be poor the rest of your life. No. That's not what it says. No. Multiple places. If I do my job, you'll do your job. See, if we don't work the word, if we don't do the system in the word, we cannot expect its results. How did we get here? So I want to show a little.
John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, or in proportion to the way your soul prospers. Your soul and the condition of your soul can affect your outward conditions. Let me explain. Sometimes a person can receive their physical healing when their emotions are healed. For example, in extreme emotional duress or stress, the body can react with physical illness. When the person is set free and enters into peace, the body is also healed. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. John 14:30. In other words, the enemy had no legal access, no inroad to harm Jesus. You might say, but Jesus was killed on the cross. But Jesus himself said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down, and I will take it up again. Jesus chose to lay down his life. It was not stolen from him by a devil, because no devil had access to him. What did he mean? He has nothing in me, no legal right, no inroad, no access. Jesus was a perfect man. There was no lie in him, only truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was emotionally whole. He had no sin. Therefore, he had given the enemy zero legal right to his mind, will, emotions, and physical body. What if we could get free on the inside from the things that give the enemy access? Access to steal our peace, access to harm us, access to give us strongholds or addictions, illnesses. How does the enemy gain access to a person's life when they are a follower of Jesus? Or how could a Christian ever have a stronghold? Since the enemy has no legal authority over the believer because of the cross, the believer must give him access. This can happen by speaking words that are negative, by believing his lies and deception, by making ungodly inner vows, or by open sin. Just as one example, if a born-again person believes that they are unholy or unworthy, they have actually believed a lie because Jesus gave them his righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This would be one example of a soul hook or legal access for the enemy to add a stronghold. Why? Because the person has believed a lie, something contrary to the word of God, a deception of the enemy, and therefore is giving the enemy some ground or some space in their life. To this soul hook, the enemy can tie further lies and deceptions, distress and trouble, even hardship. Let's imagine a visual example of this. Let's imagine that the lie becomes rooted in a person's soul when they are very young. When they become born again, if they don't renounce that lie, but still believe that they are unworthy, the enemy can attach several strongholds to that hook. If the person believes he is unworthy, he will sometimes accept rejection, even feel rejected by God or the church. It is important to note that this believer may have had knowledge, intellectual understanding of the fact that Jesus has cleansed him from all sin, but in his soul, in his emotions, he still believes deep down that he is unworthy. Satan may come along and attach a spirit of rejection, pain, wounding, anger, and sometimes even sickness. One soul hook can provide access to a number of strongholds. Rather than just casting a devil out, sometimes deliverance comes when the legal right is removed. In that case, several strongholds leave when the soul hook is removed or the lie is renounced. The removal of a lie or inner vow can often change an entire lifetime of problems or issues with behavior or relational problems. Now, it's truly wonderful that we can go to the Lord and receive forgiveness over and over for the same problems. And his grace and mercy are so good and kind. But wouldn't it be better to remove the entire structure, the soul hook and the strongholds? The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. If we are able to remove the legal access that we give to the enemy, he can no longer harm us in that area. There are many types of soul hooks that can cause issues. Thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit who is here to help us find each one. He is our mentor. If we ask, the Holy Spirit will tell us the root cause of our problems and will clearly show the way to be set free.
Okay. Hallelujah. So you may be sitting there going, uh-oh. Uh-oh, I believed a lie. I can't tell you how many, probably hundreds of lies. And how it began to be an issue for me was he had to walk me from believing so much garbage into truth. So a lot of the truths I know, it took years for me to figure out. So I don't expect everybody to get this in a day. But I will say this, as we talk about these things, one may raise up and you go, oh, I think I believed a lie. And what I want to tell you is how simple it is to get free. Basically, when God was teaching me this, he told me to renounce that lie and actually treat it as sin, because in a way, it is. It's me justifying myself. It's me saying, yeah, I know your word says this, but I feel. Or I know your word says this, your holy, everlasting, eternal word that can't lie. That says that, but God, the earth's realm says this. My bills say that. So you realize that you're saying, I'm elevating my emotions above your word. Can you see how offensive that is? So it's not just good to renounce it. We really need to repent of it. Okay, and the reason I'm sharing all my failures is so no one will feel funny if you have a lie. Literally hundreds I had to get rid of. And I will work on this the rest of my life. For the rest of my life, I will always be saying, God, is there anything else you want to show me? Is there anything else you want to tell me? I will tell you this. Some of you have actually said, I don't know if there's ever going to, am I ever going to come out on the other side? And I remember feeling like that. And I want to tell you, not only is there another side, but when it happens, it's truly like being raised from the dead. It's like coming out of the cave as he did. It's like saying, man, I was dead and I'm alive. I was nothing. I was a complete failure. And yet, when God breathes his life on you, but it comes through these truths. It comes through truth. That's how it comes. And so I believe as we're sitting here, you may know of a lie or two. Something may be rising up. I'm going to just say, for one thing, anybody that's believing a lie, it's a cross-section of the body of Christ, okay? Everything I've mentioned, usually if I meet one person that has it, God told me there's a whole cross-section of the body of Christ that are struggling with that thing, okay? So just for fun, don't be embarrassed. We all came. Has anybody thought, I don't know if God really forgives me? Have you ever felt like that? Nobody. You are a liar. I know some of you are more mature than that. You got past it. But I know there's people in here that you've battled that. I know there's people in here that you were told these words, you'll never amount to anything. Whopper. Why would the enemy seek you out to get you to believe that about yourself? See, because Jesus stripped him of all real authority. He is completely naked before the cross. You understand that? His blood stripped Satan of all power. And you may say, well, it feels like he still has power only if we give it to him through deception. It gets much easier when you say, no, not me. Nope, not happening to me. Nope. You can come to a place where he can't get you, right? And so what God wants to do is set us free. I was sitting at a meeting. It was actually somebody's basement. And while I was preaching this, the lady said to God quietly, what is the lie? She was having a real struggle at work, and it was really weighing her down. The guys, she worked with a bunch of men who were PhDs, and they were treating her bad. And I honestly don't remember what the lie was, but she sat and said, Lord, what is the lie I've believed? And he told her right then. She said a prayer, was 100% instantly free. I had a lady at the women's meeting. This happened in, whenever that was, May or June. And this lady came up at the end. She was hearing all this. She came up and she said, I have a spirit of rejection. And this is a really, really successful lady in the corporate world. You'd never guess it. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's like a way high up in the corporate system. You'd never guess it. But what she said was she had rejection. So we went through it, and I said, do you see? Took her through the lie. I said, do you see that that's in contrary to the word of God? Yes. I said, are you willing to renounce it? She said, well, if you asked me 3 minutes ago, I'd have said no, but okay. I led her in the prayer, and we felt, listen, in this case, it was a demon. It's not always. We felt this giant black go, because he lost his access. Some of your behavior patterns are there because you've believed stuff that's not true, either about yourself, about your spouse, about God, okay? So when I said it to her, I said, did you feel that leave? She goes, I didn't think it would work. That's what she said. That's how fast it was. So if we were all more honest and we could, I would ask somebody, say, if you believed a lie and you know it, just say it. Because I'm telling you, there's 10 other people here with it. I'd like to just show you how it's done. Anybody? Nobody. Yeah, thank you, brother. There's a spiritual man. Oh, good.
I have believed that I've been rejected in love.
Okay. That's a dirty devil. And so what's the problem with a lie? When you feel rejected, you can take it on like, well, that's my pattern. Now you begin to have faith for it to happen. But the truth is that God has someone that will love you more than anyone has ever loved you. Amen? Has anybody ever felt like that, rejected in relationships or love? Yeah, a few people. So I'm going to have you say this, because we don't, any one of us, want to feel alone in our renunciation. So I'm going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, all my life, I believed that I had rejection in relationships. And because of it, I believed that I will never have a good one. But I know you better than that, Father. That if you have someone for me, they will love me with an unconditional love. So today I come before you, Father. I expose that lie, and I renounce it. And I turn and embrace your word that says I'm accepted in the beloved. That you can bring me somebody, Father. It's not hard for you. I put this in your hands, sir. Satan, take your stuff and leave and never return. In Jesus' name. See, Satan wants you in a cage, doesn't he? And he wants you to build your own cage because he doesn't have the legal right to do it. Jesus so stripped him. I'm not selling sets right now, but I just want to tell you, I have something called Victorious in Battle. It's 4 sessions that we go into what really happened at the cross. He stripped Satan of all power. He said before the cross, you know, when he was looking, he was just about to go to the cross, he said this statement. He said, now is the prince of this world cast out. I remember when I read it, I thought, now? You know, that's 2,000 years ago. It sure doesn't feel like it because I didn't know these principles. But what he was saying was, it was the judgment. The judgment happened at the cross, the judgment of the enemy. He was judged. He will be judged again at the end. But Satan was judged and stripped of all legal right. Listen, if he could kill you, he'd have done so. You'd be dead. If he could have stopped you from coming, he'd have stopped you from coming. Why couldn't he do it? Because you wouldn't give in. Why couldn't he do it? Because you said, no, I'm going. Shut up, sit down, I'm going. You don't get to have an opinion, devil. You don't get an opinion. This isn't a panel discussion. Right? So Jesus stripped him legally, so what's he got? If I can get them to believe. If I can get them to believe, just like their dad said, you're no good, or you'll never amount to anything, or you really are dumb. Do you know how many people I know who were told they are dumb that are smarter than I am? That was a system. Yeah, it's not true. Okay, here's a guy that solved our problems when we got here, told us, well, no, this is this, and here's how you do that. And we're like, where did you come from? Right? And somebody had the audacity to tell you that that wasn't true. Big fat lie. Right? So we have to overcome our lies. We have to choose, and I'm going to tell you, do it out loud. Because it's a legal document in the spirit. Satan has to hear it. Here's what happens. You slam the door on him, and he's like, rats, I lost that one. Now, you may have more lies you need to deal with, but in that area, he can go sing. There's nothing he can do. Because then when he starts to come back, what have you done? You've opened the door to heaven's blessings instead of Satan's cursings. But the biggest thing you've done is you've told your emotions, we don't believe that anymore. Yeah. And your emotions go, by golly, I'm not dumb. By golly, I can be used to God. I thought so. Deep down, I thought I could be used to God. Because your emotions listen to your words. If you want to stay depressed, talk about your depression. Talk about how bad it is. Call your friends and whine and ask for prayer. And you will go, you will spiral. If you want to cut it short, you start saying, boy, this is going to be a good day. And you may not feel like it, but you start saying, your emotions go, ah, yeah, by golly, this, yeah, it is nice out. Hey, because your emotions are kind of stupid. And they were designed to follow your lead. And some of you have been letting them lead you around by the nose. I feel this way. Who cares what you feel? Shut up, sit down. Tell your emotions to shut up and sit down. Tell them what to believe. Trust me, I had on the phone with somebody, And I said, and at first I was like, ooh, is this scriptural? But the Holy Ghost told me to do it. I said, listen, we're going to speak to your emotions. We're going to speak to your mind, will, and emotions. I had this person say, will, I speak to you. You will obey God. Mind, you're going to come in line with the word of God. Emotions, you are going to cheer up. I don't remember what it was, but it was like they were. And then after I hung up the phone, they were all free, right? I go, God, was that scriptural? He said, haven't you read? Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. David was talking to his soul, telling it how to feel. Because your soul was designed to obey you. Okay? How did we get there? Oh, we got another. Got something else over here? I love her. Okay. So that probably goes back to a trauma, right? Do you know the one it goes back to?
Oh, gosh, definitely.
You do. Okay, so a specific incident. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so trauma happened. Has anybody else here dealt with trauma? One of the problems with it is it happens to you, and it's easy to take on a response of, my God, what's going to happen next? Right? Nobody rose up for your defense. What the heck? How am I going to get through this, and will it happen again? Right? That's very, very common with any kind of trauma or abuse. I imagine there's actually a lot of people in here with that. So the first thing I'm going to do is break a spirit of trauma off of you. I break the spirit of trauma that came in when you had your first traumatic experience. In Jesus' name. The second thing I'm going to say is, I want to teach you something. We can stay in the problem as long as we look at what happened to us and how bad it was. That's the temptation. And I don't want to minimize what happened to some of us was so bad. It's easy to just be like, I can't get past this thing that happened. How did that happen? But what I discovered was, it's not what happened to us that gets us bound. Look what they did to Jesus. He didn't get bound. It's how we responded. And the example is, bullies on a playground. Let's say we have three little boys. Each of them get beat to a pulp by the same bullies. Same beating, same guys, exactly the same. One kid says, I'll get you before you get me. Right? He made an inner vow. Anytime somebody comes at him that even looks like they've got an opinion, even looks like they're going to challenge him, even verbally, he goes on the launch, right? I'm going to get you. And he goes after them with his words and maybe with his fists. Second guy goes, man, I am going to be nowhere to be found if those guys come. I'm afraid of them. I don't want nothing to do with them. I'm going to run and hide, and spends his whole life hiding. So his wife comes in 40 years later and says, why is there a scratch on the car? Runs back, doesn't want to talk about it. Why don't you want to talk to me? Well, you see the problem? His response took on not only a lie, but a vow. And so the three kids, four kids, 10 kids, each take on different strongholds because they made different responses. Okay, does that make sense? So we can't solve them all at once, but I think we should deal with, you got some? No, you just, okay. I just want to deal with this trauma thing. So part of what happened was it began to look like nobody's ever going to help me. This is my pattern. I'm always going to have horrible things happen. When's the other shoe going to drop, right? Does it feel kind of like that? Okay, so can you see, in a way, you're having faith for the bad thing to happen? And I know you know in your heart, and because fear is essentially faith, isn't it? It's the same mechanism in us, but we believe for the bad thing now. We believe because, listen, I'm just going to go there. My first husband was a pornography addict. He cheated on me, and he was arrested for many, many sex crimes. And here's me, believing in deliverance, thinking it's no big deal to deliver him. So, you know, I can get him delivered, not knowing he didn't want to be delivered. People who don't want to be delivered don't have to be delivered. Here's me, dumb, not knowing this. But what point I want to get to is, some people will come out of a marriage like that and say, all men are bad, all women are bad, I'm never going to get involved again. Or they get married again, and the guy goes out to get, you know, bridge mix from the 7-Eleven, and you're going, where is he? I bet he's not really there. And you get in your car and you follow him because you're nuts. Because you accepted as a truth the behavior pattern, and you now are in fear, and you're self-protecting, right? But it's not true. God took that guy away, gave me Edgar Bailey, who loved me. Every woman should have someone love them in their lifetime the way Edgar Bailey loved me. I've never seen a man love anybody the way he loved me. And God did that. God did that for me. That's why I know God can do that for any of us. So what happens is you took on an idea, this is my lot in life, right? So I'm going to, anybody can say this with us that wants to, but I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I believe I may have taken on a spirit of trauma and fear and an expectation that bad things were going to happen to me and maybe no one would rise up to my defense. But that isn't your assignment for me. I'm exposing that for what it is today. It's an assignment from the devil. It is a lie. He's trying to get me to believe for bad things. The jig's up. Devil, I renounce that lie. Pack your bags and go. Today, I accept the truth of God's word. That I will walk in his favor. That goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name. Okay. Now, some of you should have felt something lift. Did anybody notice any change there? Quite often when you renounce the lie, things slide off because now they've lost their hold. Anybody else want to deal with something? Because I promise you, half the room probably has it. Or we can go home and come back tomorrow. Hallelujah. Yeah. Is that something? Or?
Yeah. I have always, there's been a problem with me reading, not because I don't understand words and not because I don't understand sentence structure, but back in third grade, my third grade teacher told me that there was no way I was going to amount to anything more than the garbage man.
Ooh.
And I'd be lucky if I ever attained that. And when I got home, I was at a teacher, and my parents spanked me because I upset the teacher. But, and I thought that I had dealt with anything, but to this day, I still have to have an audio recording when I read the Bible to get myself to do it. And I get distracted, and it just goes away no matter how hard I try.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what it is, and it just blows my mind.
Okay.
And I can see that there's a connection, but I can't.
Yeah, so in this case, I'm actually sensing we also need to break his word curse. There was a word curse spoken over you. Some people say bad things, and it's just a person, and it's their flesh. And it doesn't have all that much clout. It has some clout, right? But it was just their flesh. But some people unknowingly allow a demon to speak through them, and that's a prophecy, an evil one, okay? And it carries the power of that devil, okay? So sometimes you need to break those words. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I break every word or curse spoken against you. It's absolutely not true. I break that word or curse about you not amounting to anything or not being able to read. We know it's not true because we've seen, hallelujah, what you can do in the Spirit. We've already seen it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we break every word. In fact, right now, I'm just going to do this over all of you. Sometimes I do this over people, but I'm going to do it over everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to look at everyone in this room, your children. Take them back through the course of their life from their very conception in the womb. And consider, Father, every word or every curse, every negative thing that has been spoken over them, to them, about them, or even by them. And right now, Father, we lift these words up before you. We pour the blood of Jesus Christ on these words, and we render them null, void, powerless, and ineffective. In the name of Jesus, they have no effect upon your children. And we declare their complete freedom from any words. Some of you are getting free right now from words you didn't even know were spoken. Some of you are getting free from words that were spoken over you in the womb. Somebody, listen, you know why sometimes there's gender confusion? Not all the time, but sometimes somebody wanted a different gender and was silly enough to say so. Right? So what did they do? They pronounced a curse on the kid. It's very confusing to a child. Just want to make sure we're going with the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to have you all say, some of you may have not had any negative stuff like this, but I'm going to have us say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus
Christ, I break every negative word,
I break every negative
word off of my soul. I declare my mind, will, and emotions free.
I declare my memory bank free
from every negative word. Even my cell memory, I declare it free. I declare it free. Healing come in the name of Jesus. I see someone has a fragmented heart. Now, this is more common than we think. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. And if you look it up, that word actually means shattered, like if we had a glass mirror and somebody threw a softball at it and it shattered into shards, okay? It's much more common than we know. And when that's the case, I'm talking to a few people in the room, your heart was shattered and you've been trying to put the pieces together, but it's not as simple as one lie, is it? Because you don't even know where the pieces went. There's people in here, you had identity stolen from you in your teens. You were not counted worthwhile. You were disrespected. You were treated without respect. In some cases, I saw like a big boot come down and crush the heart. But Jesus came to resurrect as only he can. So Father, in the name of Jesus, gather all the pieces. Lord, you are the master of healing the heart. You heal the impossible. I've seen you do it again and again. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm actually seeing a picture of Jesus spreading his arms upon the cross. And it's almost as though he's gathering those pieces right now. He's gathering all the fragments, all the shards, all the pieces that went missing. You don't even know where they went. There's some people in here, at least one, you were forced to do things you did not want to do that were sin. You were forced to do things you did not want to do. Even as a kid, you were godly. Even as a kid, you knew God was the right way and you wanted to do right, but you were forced to do something that was very distasteful and sinful. And then you blamed yourself. But God says, I never blamed you. I never held that to your account, and I never will. I see him releasing wounds and memories even now. I see him releasing fragments of the heart even now. Someone here, you went through a really bad relationship breakup and you thought it was the person you were going to marry, but they really did you dirty. They betrayed you and they did some really bad stuff, and it's like they walked off with a piece of your heart. And try though you may, you've done well, you've been faithful and you've kept the faith and walked right, but that piece never came back. But the Lord says, here it is, I am restoring. Because he says, you know who is the lover of your soul? I am. You know who loves you with an everlasting love? I do. You know who is your spouse? He says, I am. No one will ever take you out of my hand. And if you could know the depth of my love for you, you would never second guess yourself like you do. You would never condemn yourself, speak ill of yourself. I break and bind every spirit of self-hatred or self-abuse in this room. I cut it. Those words that you speak when no one's looking, you say terrible things to yourself and about yourself. I break the power of that spirit, and I break that lie. Jesus, I ask you to make visitation upon your children. The things that I say, Lord, I know I'm saying them by the Holy Ghost, but I'm asking you to encounter them personally. I'm asking you to come to their room, Holy Spirit, and bless them. Hover over them. Love upon them. Deal with them the love of God that heals every wound. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Mission statement. To set at liberty those who are bound. To set us free. He came for that purpose. This isn't like a side thing. It's his thing. And he loves you. And he wants you to know victory. He wants you to know so much victory that the devil's just confused and discombobulated. He doesn't know what to do about you. You know? Because you won't believe him anymore. Jesus wants that for you. Did you know God earnestly desires for you to have so much victory, to walk so much in him, and to be so assured of your inheritance in God that you know you can say it once and it's done? Isn't that awesome? That's what God wants for you. Our problem is we need to know that. Hallelujah. Okay, I love you. God loves you. I feel like I've gone far enough for now. You got something?
I do. I got this in worship, and he's, you know, you ever been shook by the Holy Ghost where he's not going to let you leave until you release a word? And as I was listening to Holly minister just like 2 seconds ago, I heard "too cool for school," and I've heard that one other time. And it actually gives me chills when I hear it, because it's the Holy Ghost is extending an invitation. And basically, here's the word I heard earlier. I'm not looking. I'm looking at the floor. And some people came out of curiosity. Some may have been tricked into coming here. Some may have, want to come because they want to get free. And could this be my day, Lord? Could this be my time? But for those that are too cool for school, the word of the Lord is, he likes to trick people, but there's also a defense, a natural defense that rises up, because I've been hurt and I don't want to get hurt again, so I'm too cool. I'm not participating. I'm too cool. And so you did not get tricked in coming here. God actually ordained this time for you. And so I'm going to set the record straight in your mind right now that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And he's extending his hand in gentleness and kindness and wants to lead you and guide you into truth. And the resistance you're feeling is from the brokenness and the walls of protection that you had to put up because of the trauma and trials that you went through when you were younger. And so I, right now, by the Spirit of God, release you from that trauma. I release you from the walls and the blockages of self-protection where you think you're too cool. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, he created you in his image. He created you in his image. And he is calling you out of the hiddenness and the toughness and extending his hand to bring you into true relationship with him without condemnation, without judgment. And actually, when you're too cool for school, you are releasing condemnation and judgment. It's the opposite spirit that God works out of and lives out of and loves out of. So right now, by the Spirit of God, I command a release of your mind so that you can make a choice and be set free and go after God with all your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's okay.
Okay. I just want to, while she was talking about that, I again am looking at the floor, but the same person or persons who have that, what happened is, and I've actually seen this before, there was a verbal abuse that took place all of your young life where it didn't kind of matter what you said, you got nailed for it. And it left you with a feeling that if you dare allow yourself to be vulnerable in a group of people, if you allow yourself to show your faults, you're going to get nailed. Can I say that might be true in some churches, and I have seen it. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen. But I can say in this room, we all came because we want to get free, and we do not condemn. And I feel like the Lord is saying, if you won't let down your mask with people, let your mask down with me, he's saying. Stop having it all together all the time, because I know you. And I love you. And I want to show you the greatness that I put in you. They didn't see it because they couldn't. And you haven't been able to see it because you wore their lies like a cage. But the Father's saying, I can't make you take off that cage, but I am asking you, when you're alone with me, take off the mask. Let me heal you of all that stuff. I am never going to do to you what people did to you. I am never going to be to you what people have been to you. I'm not like them. I'm not like anybody you know. When I look at you, all I see is the beauty of what I made, and I don't make junk.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.